always love you guys' energy. It's just contagious. Well, hey, super glad that you guys are here. If you guys will go ahead and grab your outlines and just put them on your lap. You're going to need these tonight. And let me remind you why we do this. We do these because we want you to be able to pull away from things that you learn. We want you to be able to maybe talk about it with your parents, your family. So I'd love to encourage you to write things down that you learn, write things down that stick out to you. And so here's what we're doing tonight. We are in week number four. Everybody hold up a number four. Week number four of a series called The Great Paradox. And in this series, what we're doing is we are looking at some statements that Jesus made, statements that were countercultural, statements that were not normal, statements that when people heard them, they were like, man, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like what most people do, right? And so that's what a paradox is. When you hear it, it doesn't sound right, but when you think about it or when you see it or when you study it, it actually is very true and it is the right thing, the right direction, the right decision, if you will, right? And so what we're doing is we're looking at some statements that Jesus made in Scripture that were not meant to ruffle feathers necessarily, but were meant to help us to understand this is the way in which God would want us to live our lives. But remember that this is what we're talking about is we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is the first ever public sermon that Jesus ever preached. And so, but understand that the Sermon on the Mount, what we've said from day one to now is that the Sermon on the Mount is not a list of this is what you got to do and this is what you shouldn't do, right? But rather it's a description of who we are becoming in Christ. And it's impossible for us to walk out of this room and live up to everything that Jesus says in this, which is why we desperately need his help, which is why we desperately need him to help us live our lives, right, in a way that would be countercultural, in a way that would be different. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk about the relationship that you and I have with other people. Last week, we kind of touched on that when we talked about anger and murder and what did Jesus say and how we view sin, right? And at the end of the day, different sins have different consequences, but they're all the same because they all keep us from God. They all separate us from God. They all hurt our relationship with God. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is something that can very easily hurt our relationship with others. Now, before we get to that, let me ask you guys a question. How many of you have ever had this thought, I have got to have revenge? Anybody ever had that thought on somebody? Or maybe this, I'm hearing you, both hands, and both legs, thank you. Or what about a thought like this? What about a thought like this? Man, I can't wait to get them back. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, man. And let me tell you why. Because naturally, that's just where we go. That's just kind of who we naturally are. We naturally go towards the direction of revenge or go to the direction of we want to retaliate, right? That's a hard word to say. We want to retaliate. We want to get them back. We want to get even, right? And I want to tell you, that is something that Jesus speaks to tonight that is very different than that way of living. And this is from the top. I want to tell you this from the top, right? I believe that Jesus was saying these things in the Sermon on the Mount to help us to understand that if we would live life with his help, if we would live life in this way, it would naturally result in other people being pointed to the person of Jesus Christ. It would result in our life being a light and a reflection of something very different than what is normal. Of something very different than what we are used to. Now, before we get there, there's a guy I want to tell you. How many of you guys have ever heard of Jackie Robinson? Anybody ever heard of Jackie Robinson? Jackie Robinson was the first ever African American baseball player to play on the professional level. He was the first ever to step across that line. And here's what you got to understand. In the 1940s, right? Baseball was considered, at that time, It was considered a white man's sport. And so for a African-American man to play baseball in a white man's sport, right, that was not an easy road to travel. That was not an easy thing to do. Something that somebody said about Jackie Robinson, he said, he endured unthinkable cruelty and injustice for desegregating the game and was succeeding on the field and off. Listen to this. Not only did he bat 300, which is really good, not only was he named Rookie of the Year his first year playing baseball, but here's the part that sticks out. He was holding his tongue, his fists, and he never fought back. Now, I want you to think about this. This was when racism was a pretty big deal in our country. And so Jackie Robinson, being an African-American, playing a white man's sport, he went through a lot of tough stuff. I mean, he was called names. Pitchers would on purpose throw the baseball at him to try to hit him, right? People would, run into him like he was playing first base, and people would step on his leg to try to break his leg. I mean, this was terrible stuff that Jackie Robinson would deal with, and not one time did he ever seek revenge. Now, he may have thought about getting revenge. I think we've all thought about getting revenge. But never one time did he actually act on it. And what I want you to do is I want you to watch the screens. I brought a clip that'll just kind of show a picture of Hollywood's version, if you will, of maybe something that he had to endure. Now, when you watch this, it is a movie, right? There was a movie that was made as a tribute to Jackie Robinson. The movie is called 42, and it's a great movie. And it's all about his life, his legacy, what he stood for, right? And I just want to show you a picture of some of the cruelty that he had to deal with. So check it out. Yeah, so just a picture of some of the things that... Now, here's what's interesting is one of the players was like, nah, hit him in the head the next play. Like, hit the next batter in the head, right? Get revenge. Get even. And what did Jackie Robinson say? It's not even the point, right? Just get the guy out. This game is too important. Just get the guy out, right? Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. Jackie Robinson is a person that we talk about today. I mean, he has paid tribute to pretty much every season of American League baseball. Why do you think that is? And I don't want you to answer that. I would tell you the reason why. It's because he lived so differently. He lived so differently. And I want to give you guys a thought tonight. I know you've talked about it in your small groups, but I'd love for you to write it down on your outline. And it's simply this. Instead of revenge, seek peace. Or maybe even say it like this. Instead of revenge, seek forgiveness. Instead of getting revenge, instead of getting even, instead of wanting to do something back to them, seek peace with people. Seek forgiveness with people. But see, when you hear that, if you're honest with yourself, when you hear that, that kind of sounds weak, doesn't it? Kind of sounds soft. Because in the culture that we live in, we are taught, nah, man, you get what's yours. Somebody wrongs you, then you wrong them. You guys have all heard this. I'm sure your parents have used it. Two wrongs don't make a right, right? But we sometimes think two wrongs make it all right. Because we want to get people back. And that's, honestly, I'm right there with you at times. Sometimes when I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, like, I want to cut them off. Just being real. I mean, I'm just being honest. Doesn't mean that I do it, right? And I think what Jesus would say to us is, if we would do this, if we would, instead of revenge, seek peace or seek forgiveness, I think that other people in our life that we do life with, I think they would naturally see Christ in us. They would naturally see Christ in our actions. Now, what I want to do, I'd love you to get your Bible out underneath you or in front of you, and I'd love for you to turn open to page 970. Page 970, which is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I want to get your eyes, I want you to get your eyes on the text tonight. Get your eyes on the text. If you don't have a Bible, then look on with someone near you. Because when you get your eyes on the text, it allows you to pay attention and to stay focused, okay? Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 38, top of page 970. Top of page 970. Here's what the Bible says. You have heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. Now, let's stop right there. Now, let's think about what Jesus is saying. Jesus is preaching his first public sermon, right? And repeatedly, what you'll find in the Sermon on the Mount is when he gets to a new topic, this is what he says. He'll say, you've heard it said, but I tell you. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, you've heard it this way your entire life. This is what you've been taught. This is what you've learned. This is what is normal. This is what culture tells you. But I say this. In other words, Jesus is trying to get the listener, us, to see this passage differently. And when he says, you've heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth, this was an Old Testament law. This was known. Everybody knew. If someone wrongs you, then you wrong them. There was actually a law that said, if somebody takes your eye out, then you get to take their eye out. That'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Or if somebody takes a tooth out of your mouth, they punch you and your tooth falls out, then you get to remove a tooth out of their mouth. Right? How many of you would actually take a pair of pliers and remove a tooth from someone? You guys are terrible. That might be one of the most painful things I think I could ever imagine, is somebody taking a pair of pliers. What if it was one of your two front teeth? All right, but what Jesus is saying, right, is that the way that you have learned life is wrong. Somebody wrongs you, then you wrong them, right? Somebody wrongs you, somebody does something wrong to you, then you do something wrong to them. And then he says this, he says in verse 39, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Do not resist an evil person. This is what Jesus is saying. Don't return evil for evil. Don't seek revenge. Don't fight back. I know that's the easy. See, sometimes we don't think that's the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is to get revenge. The easy thing to do is to get even. The easy thing to do is to do what they did to you, right? Because that's the normal thing. The hard thing to do is to do what Jackie Robinson did. Bite your tongue and not say a word. Even better, to do what Jesus did. Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was made fun of. Jesus was mocked. And do you know not one time did he try to get revenge? Not one time did he retaliate. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't seek revenge. Don't try to get even with people. But this is tough for us. It's tough for us because it's not the norm. It's tough for us because it's not what everybody else would do. Right? So instead of revenge, seek peace. Instead of revenge, seek forgiveness with other people. The Bible says it like this. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but instead overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Here's what Paul was saying in that passage. Don't allow revenge to be your focus. Don't allow retaliating and getting even to be your motive, to be your goal, right? Because when it is, the thing about revenge is revenge kind of, it sounds sweet. Like it probably, we think, man, revenge would just taste so sweet if they could just get what they deserve, right? But you know, at the end of the day, most of the time, if not all the time, it's just going to lead to more drama. It's going to lead to more pain. It's going to lead to more hurt feelings. And it's probably not going to solve the problem. We think in our minds fighting a person, or we think in our minds getting even with them, that will solve everything. But the reality is it won't. And that is what Jesus was saying in this passage. So what I want to do is I want to read over the next couple of verses, and I want to just quickly, I think there's three things that Jesus would tell us, because what he does is he gives us three examples in the rest of the passage. He gives us three examples, and I would say that he would give us three action steps, if you will. And some of these, maybe you do them well, and some of them, maybe you don't. Some of them, maybe you really need to work on, and some of them, maybe you're fine, right? Which is why he gives us three. So he says it like this. He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Here's the first thing. The first thing is this: love more. Simple as that. You can write that down in your outlines if you're taking notes. Love more, right? Instead of revenge, seek peace. Instead of revenge, seek forgiveness. What would Jesus say? Well, love more. In other words, love people the way you would want to be loved. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. The golden rule, if you will, right? And no one wants to be treated with contempt. No one wants to be treated with hatred. No one wants to be treated being mean to each other, right? So you treat others the way you would have them treat to you. And Jesus kind of takes it a step further, doesn't he? He says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. Now, when we read this, sometimes we think, so you mean to tell me that Jesus is saying, if I'm fighting someone, that I'm just supposed to like roll over and play dead? Like no self-defense, no like defending myself, right? What about what all my parents tell me to do, right? Well, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus is not telling us, if you're a Christian, he's not saying Christians should be weak. He's not saying Christians should be wimps. He's not saying we shouldn't have self-defense, right? That's not the point. What he's saying, though, is that our motive should not be revenge. Our motive should never be revenge. Now, I need a volunteer. I want to show this to you. Come on up. First hand I saw. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus says, if someone, what does he say? He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Which is your right cheek? Okay, that side. This is his right cheek, okay? So I want you to see this, right? Because Jesus is not talking about Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather right here, right? He's not talking about a boxing match, okay? He's not referring to a boxing match. Because listen, if I was, and here's the thing. How many of you, just raise your hand if you are left-handed, left-handed. You raise your right hand. That was awesome. Raise your hand if you're left-handed. Anybody left-handed? Okay, so we got some. Raise your hand if you're right-handed. All right. So think about this. Think about what Jesus says here, right? There's a reason why he says the right cheek. Here's why. Because when he said it in this time and even now, pretty much 90% of people are right-handed, right? 90% of people are right-handed. So understand this. If I am fighting, tell me your name.
Brandon.
Give it up for Brandon. Awesome. And if Brandon stand, you're going to square your shoulders. There you go. Now, it would be next to impossible for me to punch him on the right cheek. Because if I were going to punch him on the right cheek, I would have to do this guy. Like, have you ever seen anybody go for a punch and they do this? You would make fun of them. If they, oh, I'm going to fight you, man. I mean, that would be crazy, right? But here's the point. In the Jewish culture, right? What Jesus was referring to is if someone slapped you. In other words, people would walk up to people and they would do this. Which in that case, being right-handed, I could slap him on the right cheek, right? And so what Jesus is saying here, because in this culture, Brandon, this was like one of the worst things that someone could do, was slap you on the right cheek. It was kind of a sign of, man, hatred. That's definitely one. I'm losing the words right now, but it was very, very, very disrespectful. Let's say it that way, right? All right, Brandon, you can sit down. Give it up for Brandon. I wanted you to see that because there's a reason There's a reason why Jesus said, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek. So is he saying, turn to the other cheek? Well, that's what he said. What was the point? The point was, don't seek revenge. Because when someone slaps you, whether it's on the right or the left, your natural thought is not, oh, will you slap me on the other one? It's not, right? You want to slap them back. Somebody walks up and does this, then you want to do that, right? Jesus was saying, this is what's countercultural. Shh. You've heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. It's crazy. But that's what Jesus said. Why? Because that would be living very differently than anyone else in the culture. People who were listening to this sermon, they probably thought, dude, he is a lunatic. He's crazy. But this is what he said. And so I want you to think about this, students. If you chose to live in that way, that instead of seeking revenge with people that maybe you're at odds with, you chose to just love them. Without them loving you back, you just chose to love them. Don't you think life would be different? Don't you think your relationships would go differently? Here's the best part about it. Don't you think that when we make decisions like that, don't you think that people would naturally see Jesus? They would naturally be drawn to who you are in Christ. They would ask the question, man, what is it about her? How does she always act in that way? She never gets mad at people. She never wants to get them back. She just wants to love them more. I mean, that's kind of the way Jackie Robinson lived throughout the game of baseball in his career, and we still talk about him today. So the first thing would be love more. The second thing I think Jesus would tell us is give more. Second thing would be give more. The Bible says this, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Jesus is referring again to an Old Testament law, which stated that someone could actually sue you for your shirt. It's pretty crazy. Why would you want to sue someone for their shirt? But it's true, it was a law, but here's what the law also said. The law also said that they could not take your coat. They could not have your coat. The reason why they could not have your coat is because your coat was like the little blanket that all of you had when you were a little kid. Anybody? Little blanket, little kid, goes where you go. How many of you still have your little blanket? How many of you still sleep with it? I love it, dude. You're proud of that. Proud of that. I love it. Now, Jesus said, if someone wants to sue you for your shirt, give them your coat also. In other words, hey, the law, by law, they can't have your coat, but give it to them anyway. In other words, give more. Instead of being so focused on revenge and getting, I'm going to get you back, give. Now, think about that. Very different than what some of us even live like now. We don't really necessarily live in that way, right? We don't live in the way of giving instead of getting. But that's what Jesus was saying. Can you imagine what your school would look like? Can you imagine what your friendships would look like? Could you imagine what your house, your home, your family would look like if you, instead of were so concerned with getting, you chose to just give? Now, I don't necessarily mean material possessions like the passage. Maybe it's giving more of your time. I don't know. Maybe it's giving more of your attention to a friend when they need you to listen to them. Maybe it's giving more of your heart towards something. It could even be giving more of your heart to M12 when you come into this room, that you want to give more of your focus instead of someone next to you like some of you are doing right now, that you want to give your focus to the message because you believe, man, God's got a word for me. But if God's going to speak to me, I've got to listen. That's what it could look like. Right? Last thing is this. Jesus would tell us, he would say, love more. He would say, give more. And lastly, he would say, do for others more. Bible says this, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. He is again pointing back to a Roman law. And in the Roman law, you literally, if you were asked by a Roman, they would come up to you and say, I need you to carry my bags. And by law, you had to carry the bags 1 mile. And 1 mile was pretty much the equivalent of 1,000 steps. And people would literally, they would count the 1,000 steps. And the second that they got to number 1,000, they would throw the bags down and walk the other direction. Right? I probably would do the same. Just being real. 1,000 steps is a lot. I mean, can you imagine carrying somebody's suitcase for 1 mile? That's a long way, right? And that was the law. That's what you were required to do. Well, Jesus turns that on its head, doesn't he? He says, if anyone forces you, because they could force you, it was a law. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2. So I'm supposed to walk 2,000 steps. Well, why did Jesus say that? Because it was living differently. It was living in a way that no one else was used to. It was a paradox. It was countercultural. It was not the norm, right? And students, I can't help but wonder, what would your life look like if you took this message to heart? If you took the words of Jesus and you actually took them to heart and said, man, what if I did choose to love people more than I do right now? What if I did choose, instead of being all about getting, I was all about giving? What if I did choose to do for others more instead of wanting people to do for me more? Now, is Jesus saying to go out and pick somebody's suitcase up and walk 1 mile? No, he's not. He's not. But he is saying to maybe put the needs of others ahead of your own. He is saying, when you want to fight back, don't fight back. He is saying, when everything inside of you and your skin is crawling up because you want to get revenge and you can't wait till that person gets what is coming to them, what they deserve, that you don't think that way. And I know this is true in your life. This is something that all of us deal with. It's something we all face. It's something that we all, if we're honest, struggle with. Some of you, even right now, you have a dividing wall between someone else in your life. It could be someone in this room. It could be someone in your household. It could be someone at your school. But if you're honest, you would say, yeah, there's something going on with me and her, or me and him, and you know, this was said, or man, I heard they wanted to fight me, so I want to fight them. I mean, there is that. That is happening. That is true of your world, right? And what Jesus would tell you tonight is, I know it's easy to seek revenge. I know that's the easy way out. I know that's what everybody else would tell you to do. But I'm just encouraging you, instead of revenge, to seek peace. What if you went up to that person? Maybe that person was expecting you to punch them or slap them on the right cheek. But you turned the other by saying sorry. You chose to turn the other cheek by saying, you know what? I don't care what you did. I don't care what you said. I've forgiven you. And I just want to be cool. Me and you, I want to be cool. You might get ridiculed for that. You might get called soft. You might get made fun of. But at the end of the day, that's exactly what Jesus went through. You realize that Jesus went through all of those things in a totally different level. And I'm not trying to compare our lives to Jesus because they don't. But what I want you to see is that he has gone through everything that you are going to go through. Jesus probably had in his mind revenge at times, but he never acted on it. Instead, he loved people, he gave to people, and he did for people. And I can tell you this, this is the most important part of tonight, of this whole entire message, is that if you were to take this and apply it, people would see a change in you. People would see a difference in you, and it would make them wonder. They would begin to ask questions. What is so different about Corey? What is so different about Kaylee? What is so different about those people? Well, maybe it's simply the fact that they have the love of Christ inside of them. And that rather than revenge or fighting back or getting even being their motive, Jesus is. That Jesus was your motive. And I wanna encourage you with something. If there is someone in your life right now that you would be honest with yourself and say, yeah, you know what? I do want revenge. Man, I am trying to think of a way to get that person back. Man, I am thinking of a way to try to get even. If that's you tonight, hey, you're in good company because I'm right there with you at times. But I would just encourage you to think differently about it. I would encourage you to think, instead of revenge, seek peace. So what does that mean? Well, maybe it means you need to go have a conversation. Maybe it means, like last week, you need to write a letter to somebody. I don't know. You're going to have to decide what that means. But here's the question, and then we're going to jump out of here. Where or with whom are you seeking revenge instead of peace? Where or with whom are you seeking revenge instead of peace? I want you to think about that and think, what would Jesus want me to do? How would Jesus want me to act? Let me pray for you. God, thanks so much for tonight. Thank you for these students. Thank you for your word, the truth, the power that comes in the scripture. And God, I pray that in our culture where revenge is rampant, fighting is the answer, we know that you would say something very differently. You would say loving and giving and doing for others. That's the point. That's the goal. And so help us to do that. Help us to be that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.